You ready to go there?
Yes.
Okay, now, there's a kind of guide that helps us go along that way to get there. It's actually one of those beautiful stories that you may have heard when you were a child. I realize it's one that I've heard less than some of the others of the great fairy tales, but it's the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. How many remember that one? Okay, to heard it when you were a kid? Now, what I realized is when I began to look at it, there were parts of it that I'd forgotten. And when I actually went back to the pure classic tale, the beautiful parts that made it a clear picture of our journey began to come together. So let me share it with you. Now, if you remember, if you've journeyed on a fairy tale with me before, what we're looking at something that has really come out of the archetypal processes of humankind, been captured in our imagination, captured in the storytelling of our culture. And the symbols that are there are all symbols of some part of yourself. So it's not about other people or what's going on outside there. It's about what's going on inside of us. So it becomes a picture of our spiritual journey. And it starts out with a widow who is very poor and her son Jack, who is a little simple, little not the sharpest son in the woodshed. Ever felt like that? So they're at the point where they're so poor they don't have enough to eat. They have to sell the cow to get money to have food to make it through the day. So Jack takes the cow towards the market, and when he is going along the road, he meets a farmer. And the farmer has these beans that are magic beans. And Jack gets so excited about the beans, so the farmer trades the beans for the cow, and Jack takes his magic beans back to his mother. Have you ever had that experience? And his mother is not excited at all. The little that they had is gone for nothing. And so she throws the beans away, and they look at the last meal that they have food for. They go to sleep that night, and in the morning, when Jack awakens, he looks out, and the beans have grown and sprouted and come together and formed this huge beanstalk going up to the sky. Jack runs outside and looks at that beanstalk, and what else can you do but climb it? You have to know where it goes. Now, at this point, the tale's not very subtle, is it? Okay, we're talking about states of consciousness when we're looking at the fairy tales. Have you ever done this so poor that? Ever tried that one? Okay, that's a state of consciousness. Now, and they're talking about material poor in this one, but some of us like it in terms of body poor or relationship poor or clarity poor or insight poor or peace poor or some of our favorite poors, okay? But what happens is now we're looking up, and there's a way to get up and see what's up there. Now, remember this particular tale was written in the 1800s, okay, in England. So it's a time when in the language of that time and in the belief of that time, the heaven was a place where God lived. Okay, and that was up there. And just in case you're curious, there's lots of ridiculous language in the Bible that supports that. Okay, because it was even written at an earlier time. So there's this concept. And so the story captures it in terms of going to look at what God is like. Now, those of you who've done a fairy tale or two with me know that most of the time, the person in the fairy tale is feminine. It's Snow White or Cinderella. But here we have a male. Now, the feminine is talking about the experience of the feeling nature. But with the male, we're looking at the thought power, the thinking power of the soul as it grows. So here is this thought. I have to explore what's there. So Jack goes up and he gets and climbs higher and higher until finally he finds himself in a different world. And he steps out and there it's beautiful. The fields are lush and there's this great, beautiful castle. Woman is standing there and he says to her, is that your castle? And she says, no, but it was the castle of a great knight and his lady. And they were loved by all the people from miles around. And the people would bring them fabulous gifts to acknowledge how much they were loved and appreciated. And then a giant heard about those gifts and came and got into the castle at night and killed the knight and his family, except for the lady of the castle, who had taken her new baby to her nursemaids. They had gone down into the valley and weren't there. And one of the servants of the castle escaped and went and told the woman not to come back because the giant would kill her and the baby. And then the woman revealed herself as a fairy and said, that woman is your mother. You are the son, and you are the heir to the castle and the kingdom and all that is within it. And to get it, you must kill the giant who lives there. You know, there's always a rub, isn't there? So what happens is, we have a fairy explaining the story. Okay, so we've got an angel figure. Okay, now remember, though, the angels are that part of consciousness that through which we're able to grasp higher understanding and perception and bring it down into our awareness. So they are that connector between. So what Jack realizes and understands and what we awaken to is that we are heirs to that which is the divine, this heaven that he's gotten into, this higher kingdom. One of the beautiful teachers of that idea, mystic by the name of Emily Cady, who I've shared with you often. She says, do you stop to think, really to comprehend what it means to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ? It means every man is the inlet and may become the outlet of all there is in God. That's something. Every man is the inlet and may become the outlet of all there is in God. It means that all that God is and has is in reality for us. His only heirs, if we only knew how to claim our inheritance. Jack and the Beanstalk is the story of how to claim that inheritance. So as children of God, as spiritual beings, we are the heir of that which is pictured here is the castle and the kingdom. But there's this giant problem. Okay, now they recognize that, first of all, the giant is the God thought. I mean, that's what's up in heaven. This giant, all-powerful, big, controls everything, has all the abundance. Okay, and it's far away, and it really doesn't love us. Now, we know better than that. Sometimes. If we're doing the poor thing, it says we don't believe it. Now, there's a difference between thinking something and really believing it, and there's a difference then from knowing it. So whatever our form of poor, that's a part of it. So we have this God thought we have to deal with. So Jack goes to the castle, and the giantess enslaves him. Now, the giantess is also going to protect him from the giant because she doesn't want Jack to get eaten by the giant because she wants him to be her slave and do everything that she wants. Now, the giantess is feminine, so it's the feeling. Now, so we have the feeling of fear. Have you ever been slave to your feeling of fear? All right. It's just a giantess. That's all. This heavenly feeling we've gotten about how, you know, that fear God part of the Bible, it doesn't help that very much at all. So, sorry, I'm really not intending to give the Bible such a hard time today, so I'll apologize for that. But there's parts of it they could have done better. So what happens is Jack is hidden in the closet so that the giant can't capture him and eat him. And so we get the giant approach him, and we get that line that, at least from my childhood, is the one I remember, fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. So here's this threatening, fearful, powerful presence. And so Jack is hidden. And he watches, and in order to distract him from that smell of the Englishman, the giantess serves him his dinner, and he eats his dinner, falls, well, then before he falls asleep, he calls for the hen. And so the giantess brings him this hen, one of the gifts of the castle there, the hen that lays the golden egg. So Jack sees the hen, and after a while of commanding, lay a golden egg. And the hen does it. Several eggs there for the giant. And the giant falls asleep and begins to snore, and Jack sneaks out of the closet, grabs the hen, goes over down the beanstalk, and takes it to his mother. The hen. Okay, now we'll go back into that time in the 1800s in England. Okay, that was an agrarian society. Okay, so the hen is the symbol of the fertility of that land, the ability to be about the work that the people were about and bring forth abundance. So in as we look at that metaphysically, we understand that as divine ideas, this knowledge and intelligence on how in this creative life, in the work that we do, to bring forth that which is abundant, that which is a blessing, that which is successful, that which also, everything that we need in that is provided as part of the symbol there of that hen. So this idea, this spiritual idea, is captured by Jack, and he takes it down to the place where he is living. And then, of course, that's real nice to have. And we've probably done different experiences of that, where we got that intelligence, that direction, and we've been able to do our lives successfully. But the giant's still up there. So Jack goes back up. And this time, he again is captured by the giantess. She's very good at that. And so he's watching then as the giant, after dinner, calls for his money, calls for his gold. And the gold that was once the knights who owned the castle is now Jack's inheritance. So the giant is stacking the gold and counting the gold, and then he falls asleep. So Jack runs out, takes the gold, and takes the gold down the beanstalk and gives it to his mother. A beautiful acquisition of another spiritual piece of knowledge and understanding. The abundance of God in this moment, right here, the abundance that provides more than enough for each of us. Okay, beautiful, beautiful spiritual understanding that this thought, this ability to comprehend and understand is a part of this divine capacity that we're relating to. But the giant's still up there. So Jack goes back up, and this time, he's captured by the giantess, but the gift that's brought out is a beautiful harp. And so the giant commands the harp to play its beautiful music. And the harp plays and sings, and there's this exquisite experience of beautiful music. Now, the harp is the symbol of love. Love is the harmonizing power. So this third gift that Jack is finding in this divine presence is the gift of love, the ability to create this harmony, our oneness with life itself. And so as Jack goes out, when the giant falls asleep, Jack goes out, grabs a harp, and he's running out when the harp calls back to the giant, "Master, we often feel that we don't deserve that love." But Jack now has another piece of knowledge. So he tells the harp, "I am your master. I am the heir of the kingdom. You are rightfully mine." And the harp calls to the giant no more. But the giant woke up and chases Jack, and he's down the ladder. And what happens is he gives the harp to his mother, and his mother gives him the axe, and he cuts down the beanstalk. Now, it takes that love, not just Jack. It has to move into the feminine. It has to move into the feeling nature as well. Only then does it have the power to undercut this false belief of this divine presence being something that we fear, something that has control over us rather than blessing and love for us. And so it is finally from these great ideas, spiritual ideas that he takes a hold of. It is the experience of taking a hold of the love and bringing it both into realizing this is my destiny. I'm a spiritual being. I'm a child of God. I am loved. And letting that be felt, that removes the giant from our God consciousness. So now the gifts are down here, but they're still up there. And at this point, the fairy reappears. So we have now another instruction that is given to Jack. But before we go through that instruction, I want to share with you a little more contemporary experience of Jack and the Beanstalk. Now this is, I spent the last 3 days in a training, Unity training, and a wonderful trainer by the name of Reverend Tony Boehm. And Tony has been a Unity minister and teacher for many years. And I discovered that she had been through an experience that reminded me of this story. And she captured it in her book, The Power of Yes. But Tony reminded me of this experience where she was very successful in her world. She was not only serving as a minister in her career, but also teaching and supporting the learning of others. And she had an accident. And the accident caused traumatic brain injury. And the result was the loss of her short-term memory. That's called being poor. Okay, that which she needed to function, she didn't have. That's lack. And so she went on her journey. But part of the journey was that original awakening that happens for us where we get our beans. And it came to her as a realization of what she was focusing on, what she was feeling and talking about as she was there going through this traumatic experience. It's called, well, what one of the ways to describe it is she had developed the art of complaint. Anybody done that well in your life? The art of complaint. Now, one of the ways she did it, and we've talked about this before, is the why me? Okay, that affirmation that the divine intelligence in the universe screwed it up again. Why me? And then when she looked at herself, she realized, look at the attitude that I have. Look at the things that I am saying. What do I want? She says, I chose to stop asking, why did this happen to me? I began to think of right questions, questions that would move me into a new frame of reference. When in meditation, I asked the question, what do I really want for my life? The answer I received was something strange. I realized that I wanted a healing, but I wanted a healing that would be an upliftment for my soul and move me towards a greater awareness of spiritual growth and maturity. She wanted to climb the beanstalk. Now, when the way that Tony went about her capturing of these divine qualities that are in the gifts was that she had to focus on that divine presence, on its goodness. And she had to let go of the experience of worry. She had to let go of the experience of fear. And she had to focus. And she did this by reading and by writing. And the more she focused on that, the more she began to feel as it expressed in and through her. Man is the inlet and the outlet of all that is God. And she says, each time I wrote, I was sending a healing message throughout my cellular structure as every ode and poem revealed itself. Simultaneously, there was a peeling away of another level of unconscious muck and mire. Unconscious muck and mire. Old stuff. Her giant. That had been running my life for years. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to share Tony's experience was she wasn't a beginner to the spiritual game. She'd looked, she'd studied, she'd grown, she was a teacher of teachers. Because we aren't talking about something that happens once. We're talking about the spiral of spiritual growth and maturity. And as we go around, we're capable then of uncovering levels of our God thought that we have been afraid to take a look at before, our giants. And so Tony did this by focusing upon those divine qualities and letting her way of taking a hold of that was by the experience of reading and her writing that took her deeper and deeper into taking a hold of those things, knowing that they were hers, and bringing them down to the mother, bringing them down to the feeling world. Now, the fairy shows up and gives another message. Because Jack isn't living in the castle. He's still in the cottage. Okay, now he's taken away much of the threat that's up there. But what happens is the fairy says to him, again, that higher understanding, says you have to go face the giantess. You have to remove her. Because even when we know something is true, so often our feelings continue to hold that fear. But the fairy showed her the way to do that, showed him the way to do it. The fairy took Jack into the town. And in the town, the fairy revealed to the people that Jack was the heir to the castle, that he was the son of the night, that he was the rightful one to be there in that consciousness of abundance. What happens then is the people in the town joined him. So we go through an integration experience. We go through that that experience of really holding something at depth in our being, knowing it until it is felt so strong that there is no power for the giantess. There's no room for that feeling of fear of that greater power. We aren't separate from it. We are it. It is one with our being. We are the heir of that by being a child of God. All that love, all that goodness, the wholeness, the abundance are ours. We've got to climb a few beanstalks to get there. But Jesus had his own form. Now, his tale wasn't quite so interesting. He did the Father and I are one. Okay, but that's his recognition within himself of this oneness, this that we experience as a spiritual being. Because this story leads us through the experience of acquiring that oneness by touching the different levels of goodness, the divine idea and guidance of the hen, the abundance of the money, the love through the harp. What I find is helpful. I am one with the goodness of God. No threat, just goodness. I am one with the goodness of God. Join me. I am one with the goodness of God. Feel that goodness. Again, I am one with the goodness of God. If no money lack, that goodness is too great. We can let go of that. Again, I am one with the goodness of God. We don't need to do relationship lack. There is abundance and love and care for us and those around us. Again, I am one with the goodness of God. There is nothing that is against you. It is yours, that goodness, that love, that blessing, because you are a radiant child of God. Once again, I am one with the goodness of God. Knowing that, may all your giants come tumbling down. Bless you.